JC. JC in 0TR. Good afternoon, Jerry.
Anytime. Hope you're doing well today.
Doing fine. Just sitting here watching American Pickers on TV, and the rain just quit. The sun come out. I didn't think we was going to get anything. We had 12 hundredths, and then all at once, 1.27 inches, Jerry.
Well, it sprinkled here kind of lightly, but it didn't do much at all, and the sun came out. But the sun is back behind the clouds right now, so I'm not sure what it's going to do.
Rain here again. I hear thunder. I haven't looked at the radar. Oh, they're looking at this Studebaker Avante. They're on the pickers. Remember that one?
1968, maybe 1970, somewhere back then, or maybe 67. Yeah, I remember that one.
Records on the Bonneville's salt flax with that in its class, I guess, from what they said on there. I always thought it was ugly-looking beast.
Reminded me of the, gosh, I can't remember which one it was. It was an AMC car, and I can't remember whether it was, I don't think it was it wasn't a bubble top thing. I'm not sure what that was. It might have been a Gremlin, maybe. It kind of reminded me of an extended Gremlin. It was interesting for the time, but it wasn't, it didn't exactly, set me on fire for wanting one.
And I think that's a good comparison. They're both ugly. Well, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of pop-up showers, and there's one right over downtown Greer right now. And it's a little bit south of us. We're north of Greer. There's one over Lake Robinson, but it's very light. But they said this afternoon, along in this time frame, there might be some stronger ones.
That's me in it all. I know they had some weather in Harlow over the weekend, or maybe the early, latter part of last week, according to Bill, and had some wind. And I was listening this morning to the radio show, and they said that they had another tree down in town. So, you know, they got a lot of old trees there in town, and they're right there on the sidewalks. And, of course, the roots grow out into the sidewalks and tear everything up, and they took a lot of them down, but there's still a lot of you know, big, older, oak-type trees that have extensive root systems in there that are probably getting into the the water system, I imagine, too.
Yeah, I've seen that done before, and back in our town, so I'm sure they're getting to that point. What town are you near, Jerry?
Henderson County. And I'm just outside. I'm not too far outside the city limits. You know where the Sam's Club is there in here in Anderson? I'm probably about 2 miles below the Sam's Club, just off Brown Road.
Okay. Bernice said we went to the Sam's Club when we went to the VA. You're quite correct. Well, my poor old brain's not thinking today. Oh, I was looking here, and I'm trying to see Anderson, and it's funny, the Channel 4 radar here is not showing where Anderson's at, and I know it's southwest of us, and if I zoom in, I get easily. Is Anderson farther down than that? That sounds stupid, but I don't know.
About 15 or 20 miles, at least, from Easley. If you go down 85, heading towards Georgia, exit 19, which is the main exit there, you know, it goes down Clemson Boulevard. You know, one direction heads to Clemson, and the other direction heads into Anderson, into town. And I'm probably about 2 miles away from that, so I can't remember the radar designation for us is, but it's like, it's not Northridge, it's something else, I think, Tom, but it's not, we're real close to, like I said, I can hear 85 from my house, when the tropos, when it ducked in Lovett, and Probably about a mile and a half from 85, maybe not that far.
I just didn't have the resolution zoomed in right there, but I got it now. Well, they're showing a lard cell up by West Peltzer, north of Williamston, and it looks like it's going northeast, and I guess it's actually headed towards the Greenville's airport up there. But there's not a whole lot down around you right at the moment, Jerry.
Up a little bit. The sun, like I said, somewhere back behind the clouds, but I don't see any real dark, rainy-looking clouds or anything like that, thunderstorm-looking things. But it's still pretty warm outside, so I expect we might see some later on in the day. But, West Pals or enough that way. The lower part, the southern part of Anderson County is, I should say, the western, southwestern part of the county seems to get a lot more bad weather than we do. I don't know whether it's just because we're right on that ridge, above 85 or what, but we don't seem to get quite as much really bad weather. It seems to go through Iowa and Star in that direction and head up, and kind of loop around and head back up into, towards Greenville County.
This is Gerald TR. Yeah, that's exactly where most of the storms are right now, is south and west of you. And there's some way north, but I'm watching it zoom in right now. Well, I heard Steve on here this morning. I haven't heard Bill. He's probably working. And, yeah, those storms are tracking from Abbeville up towards Lawrence and in that area now, going northeast mostly. And then I talked, Bernice and I went down and bought 4 bales. I ate $7 a bale. Can you imagine that for straw? Wow. But at any rate, we got them. And they had some left. I was surprised after the weekend. Gonna put them on the tomatoes and that. And then I talked for probably close to a half hour with a fella from England that I've heard on here before, G7ILP. His name's Kev. Really enjoyed that. Steve said it was pouring down up there where he was at, and I could hear it on his vehicle. This is NZOTR.
A guy from England known before by Echo Link, I guess. I'm sure that's the way he's getting in. But I've heard him on Saturday morning sometimes, too. And there's one guy in the area that talks to him on a regular basis. I think it's the same guy, maybe another one, maybe a couple of guys from the UK that are on here every once in a while. That's one of the things these star stuff does, too. You use RF to get to a repeater to a hotspot, and it's a worldwide deal. It's a lot of fun, but it's about like talking to a repeater more or less, just worldwide rather than local stuff. But it's interesting. I just got my power supply in 2 minutes ago. All switching supply still running about 4 amps. The voltage is 14.4, and it's dropping about a volt, I think, which is about right for a power supply. There's still a switching supply. It's quieter than the other switching supply, and it works fine for this low-powered radio. This one's got a battery in it, too, Tom. It got an 8.2 battery. It charges up. It's like a handheld battery, and it runs 5 watts when it's on the battery. It runs 10 when it's on a 13.8, yeah, maybe a 12 to 13.8 DC supply. It'll run about, with 3 amps, it'll run 10 watts out. Anyway, it's interesting. I was just curious. It wasn't real inexpensive. It seems to be pretty quiet. I don't know. On HF, it's not nothing switching on HF. It's going to be quiet. So I'm going to have to figure out maybe a 12-volt, one of those 12-volt lithium polymer batteries to go outside, throw a man in my infinite halfway whenever it gets there.
And it's working out just about like you described to me, Jerry. And that's about right where it dropped down to, It depends on the supply, and you said that was a medical one, so it ought to be pretty quiet, I would think. I have switch mode on my amplifier down there, and it's never bothered anything. It's 50 volt, I think, but it's light as a feather. Well, these guys on there on the pickers, I've seen this one before, but they're trying to buy the Michigan Madman's motorcycles. I don't know if you ever heard of him or not, Jerry.
Yeah, his name. Who is that, Tom?
His name was E.J. Potter, and he was one of the first ones to ever put a Chevrolet engine on a motorcycle. And when I was a kid, I went out to the dragway south of Pittsburgh, north of Joppa, Missouri, and the guys next to me built hot rods, and they said, Tom, go down to the traps and watch this guy when he comes through the traps. And he'd set that thing on a center stand, as I remember it. He had a slick on it. And honest to God, Jerry, he looked like he was riding on snow or ice. And that thing was all over the track coming down there. And he'd run through the traps at 160 to 180 miles an hour. And when he'd let off of the gas, after he got through the traps, that thing would do a wheelie, Jerry.
Wow. And I've seen those, we'll say it's a Honda, I think it's called a Valkyrie or something like that. It's a V6, but it's a motorcycle engine. It's not a car engine. Those things look wild-looking coming down the road. I don't know where they still make them. I used to see them pretty often here in the area, but I think people made them into trikes and that sort of thing rather than ride them on two-wheels. But I did see some two-wheel versions of them, and they were, it was all engine.
I went to a show one time, not purposely, but we went to the Buffalo Run Casino down there in Oklahoma. And these guys had a meeting, and I forget what they call them things, but there's a name for them. And they all had big V8 engines in them. Now, this has been, oh, probably 12 years ago along in that area. And somebody manufactures them. Oh, my gracious me, oh, my. They're beautiful. And some of them were in trailers. One guy had a trailer, and it had a lift inside of the trailer. And you'd run the motorcycle in, and you'd lift that one up, and then you'd run one in underneath of it, Jerry. That's when you got more money and you got brains, ain't it?
What they do on those NASCAR haulers, where they got all that hydraulic stuff on those, where they put multiple cars into a hauler and stack them on top of each other. That is big money there. You're right. I classify it as more money than cents, or just so much money they don't know what to do with it. One or the other. N4 DJC Friday.
We're out there looking at them bikes now. It's a 3x world record. It's got a 71. Chevrolet, I think there were 283s and 327s like that, but it never been done that early, and he's a 3x world record holder. Oh, Boss Hoss, that's what they call those ones that you can go buy. But this one he's got, Jerry, with the engine sitting sideways in it there, it's got a whizzer a gas tank on it. you remember them?
I mean, I remember hearing about them, but my father-in-law, when he was living, that's one of the things he did. He had a wizard. He found one somewhere once, and I thought, God, I hope he don't buy it. He was probably close to 80 then. I said, I hope he don't buy it. We'll wind up picking him up in pieces somewhere, because he did all kinds of crazy stuff when he was a young guy. But he had a whizzer. He was telling me about, or something like a whizzer, where it powered the front wheel. I may be wrong about that one. There were several of them, versions of those things that I remember seeing. I remember seeing those things, or something similar to them, advertised in like Popular Mechanics and old magazines back in the 50s, but I don't remember whether they were still called Whizzers then or not, Tom.
This one here, they're showing a picture of it from the side of that Whizzer tank on it, and they were 283s and 327s, and my gracious, it's just, and he just built them himself, but they call him the Michigan Madman. And they were still interviewing him clear up, that was back in the 60s, and they were still interviewing him clear up in the 90s there. But it's just unbelievable how he did that himself. Well, do you remember the service cycles?
I remember reading about it. I think that was, I don't remember anybody in my hometown owning one, but I do remember that.
I had a friend, and he was, the boy was a friend of my brother's, and old Charles Borton. And he rode, he had the business for him, too. And he rode a service cycle on his paper route. And I'd never seen this done before, since we'd always fold our papers back in the old days, you know, and we made a nice little old rectangle, shall you say. And we'd throw them from our scooters or Cushmans. Well, he had a service cycle. And he was an older guy compared to all of us. And he delivered like 345 newspapers. He had three different paper sacks, one behind him, one on each side of him. And that old man would go out, rain or shine, and deliver those papers. And I delivered 135. It was all in the world I could do to get all them in there and set up on a Cushman Eagle tank. But old Borderman, the old man, he had three different paper routes, 345 papers, Jerry.
That's a job there. When you start delivering over 100 of any kind of paper, that's a long, that's a pretty busy route. Plus in the rain or shine or whatever, too. Yeah, my father, he had a Cushman, too, at one time, and he had, matter of fact, he took one of his old, one he found and just converted it, and I think he had to put a new engine in, and he put, like, a Briggs engine or something like that in it, and he kept the frame, and my brother, I rode it when he was a kid for, I don't know how many, he put miles and miles on that thing, but his wasn't street legal, though. But I remember seeing those things back in the day, and I'll tell you another little story. Let's just think drop for a second. Going to college down in Southwest Georgia, there was a guy down there. He was a Navy guy himself. He was on a carrier, and he was a landing guy, I guess. He wasn't a pilot. But anyway, he got the bright idea of, he saw somebody had these old, you know, you remember these three-wheel maelster things that had a, it had a tricycle, you know, had a front wheel on it and had two back wheels on it. Those things, they just, you know, they tip over with the wind and blow up. He had a bright idea to buy one. And we went up with about 20 miles away. He had a Volkswagen microbuses. And we rode about 20 miles up the road there near, matter of fact, near Andersonville, where the prison was in Georgia back during the Civil War. And he got Tom, and he had me, he towed it behind that microbus and had me steering it in the back. You know, those things aren't supposed to do about 30 miles an hour. He'd get going down those hills, and he'd be doing 50 miles an hour. And I'd blow the horn and wave him. I said, if you'll slow this sun gun down, I'm going to jump out next time it slows up. That thing wiggled like a shimmy dance. I've never been so scared in my life because I knew that there was no seat belts in them. And I knew if he turned that thing over, I was going to be DOA.
You sure would have. This is N. Gerald T.R. You know, we'd done some crazy things back then. Well, one of our cops rode, he was a meter guy, and he saw my brother speeding on his Cushman when I was 6 years younger than my brother. My brother was telling me about it, and he chased him down a short, curvy road behind the depot there for the Kansas City Southern Railway, and we called him Tricycle Willie. When he went around that curve, that's exactly what he did. He flipped that thing over.
He must have been had one that said, yeah, we had a motorcycle cop. We had one motorcycle cop in town, and he had a Harley. Also, in the early days, he also had one of those three wheelers. You know, had to he'd go around and do the same thing with chalk. You know, but it was a motorcycle. I don't remember where it might have been a Harley. I don't remember. But it was the only one that the town had one, and. What a guy, one of my friends, was every time he'd see me, call him ballet pants, because he wore those old military, little like ride pants. He called him ballet pants. And the next time we were heading somewhere, and he pulled us over. He said, I just want you to know, I wouldn't normally write you a warning, but since you got a new name for me, I'm going to charge you $19. $19 was a lot of money in those days, Tom. They didn't call it ballet pants anymore.
Yeah, we had different names for different ones, and one of the best ones was John Chester, and he was a fine gentleman. He was dropped behind enemy lines on Normandy, which was yesterday, and he was in the 101st Airborne. He was built like Charles Atlas, and us motorcycle guys that were constantly up to orneriness on our motorcycles, we called him Gravel Face. And then we had Tricycle Willie, and there were several other ones. But it's a small town. Everybody knew everybody. They were our neighbors, and they were pretty good to us. John chased us back in the bicycle dumps one day on a full-dress Electroglide Harley, and we had sort of drug our feet on the cables that went across the road. He had those old pneumatic cables that you hit the first one, it starts the timer, and you hit the second one, it locks in your speed. So I drug my feet. And then we went into the 23rd Street bicycle dumps thinking, and we just laughing, and up on a big hill. And about that time, we heard bloop, 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 and we didn't know it, but John had been a dirt track rider in his younger days, and he rode that Electroglide back through those bicycle dumps, and he just sat there and talked to us and asked us if we'd been doing any speeding, and he called us by our official names rather than Tom and George, or he called Toby, he called him George. George Leroy, you haven't been speeding, have you? And Thomas Lee. But we were sitting there sweating blood, I'm telling you. And we learned us a lesson, and yet he didn't give us a ticket.
Well, the good ones did that. They just, if I teach you a lesson, and you couldn't afford to get a ticket, or anything really bad, they'd seldom write a ticket for you. But that's the way it is in most small towns. But there's always a couple of guys that got to push the limits and make it bad for everybody else. And we had our share of those guys, too.
I had three tickets in my life, and I think the one that griped me the most, almost the most, was I turned left off of Broadway one night, and my dad and mom made me go up and pick up my sister at the bus depot. And so I was in a hurry to get back home. I don't know what I was doing. And it was 10:30 at night, and probably on a weekend, or I wouldn't have been up that late. And I turned a block early off of Broadway on to avoid the stoplight at the next corner. And there was no traffic that time of night in that little town. Well, you were supposed to go to 4th Street before you could turn left. And I turned left at 5th Street, and he gave me a ticket for $8. And believe me, I didn't have $8 back then.
$19, that's about what I got fined $19 one time for disorderly conduct. Got to fight with a guy at a football game. And $19, that's about what I made in a week working at the local A&P time.
And you and me both, I made a dollar an hour. always tell people I deliver drugs, and boy, they look at you funny. I worked at the local drugstore, and they paid you $1 an hour, and you worked there after school till 9 o'clock, and you had to furnish your own transportation, which was a motorcycle, and your own gasoline for $1 an hour. And then when you got back, you had to scrub all the floors. In the pharmacy, you had to get on your hands and knees and scrub that with Johnson's Paste Wax. And, I lasted about 2 years and then got out of high school. But that was the way I could afford my motorcycle and the only way I could. And of course, gas was probably, 19 cents a gallon back then.
Okay, most of the time when I started driving, I think gas was 24, 25 cents a gallon, 26, and sometimes they'd have a gas war and you'd see it down to 18 or 19 cents a gallon. Because I remember paying, we had a station in Tanniscone, the station where it was still there, but there was a Sunoco station and the guys with high performance cars go down and get the Sunoco 260 and that stuff was about 40 cents a gallon, but those guys with those Hemis and the high-performance engines, that's where they always went to get their gas. But the only had, I think he had two pumps, I think, time, and you had a, instead of having a separate pump, it had a switch on it where you could switch it from one ground tank to another one. And you could get a 220 and a 240 and a 260 on one pump and another one, just the regular. And of course, all gas was leaded. Then that's before they came out with unleaded gas.
Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango.
Well, there's Rusty acknowledged. Yeah, you tell the kids now, what are you running, regular or ethyl, and they don't know what you're talking about. Go ahead, Rusty.
Hey there, guys. Now, I heard you guys talking a while ago, but I had a phone call come in, so I had to take it. Trying to get things taken care of, but in a couple of other areas. I heard y'all talking about the rain a while ago. Yeah, we had quick shower just a few minutes ago. Thunder popping around and everything. Glad none of my radios are on except this one today. And the antenna for it's got so many trees around it, I don't think it would hit it without doing something to all the trees first, if you know what I mean. Anyway, good afternoon to you, Tom, and good afternoon to Jerry. Go ahead, Jerry.
Glad you're out and about, doing okay. Yeah, we were just reminiscing like we always do. We're within a few years of each other. So a lot of things Tom remembers, I remember all that. He may be a year or two older than me, but not enough to make any difference these days especially. But Tom, I remember the thing. I was reading something not long ago about how they came up with adding octane to gasoline. You might have been talking about it too as well. I thought that was interesting about how something developed during World War II, I think, to the additives to help for aviation fuel. Is that something I dreamed up, or do you recall that?
Oh, no, you're correct. The S2 trackers that I flew in off the Bennington, we used 115, 145 AV gas, and it was a Pratt Whitney 1825 cubic inch and 1525 horsepower, Jerry.
Go ahead, Rusty, pick it up.
Yeah, you guys talking about, I remember those days, the 25 cent gas, in fact, we had one station down where I lived when I was young that they would have gas at 25 cents a gallon, and then every other weekend on Saturday they'd run it for 19 cents a gallon. And, that was back before everybody, back when people could figure out what they needed to collect to make the gas worthwhile. And the thing about it that gets me is they talk about the difference in the grades of gas, and the gas that comes cross country is all the same. It's all one grade. It's all regular unleaded, and then they add the as it goes into the tanks at the big tank farms for the different companies. That's where they add their little goodies in it to make their gas better than whatever else is out there. And all I found that out years back when I had a friend that worked at one of the tank farms, and he says, "Oh yeah, when the gas comes out of the tank line, out of the gas line coming cross country, it's all the same. And who gets it is just depends by the color that's between the two in the gas and the that's put in there as a thing to tell you which company is getting which bit of gas. And then out of the tank farm, they add the they add all of the additives at that point and mix it all together. So it, as you go down the road, that big tank truck is getting mixed all together. So you know what the different grades are. So it's you know." It's a big, well, I'm not going to go there because I get myself in trouble. Go ahead, Jerry, W2T. And I'm home, by the way.
Go ahead, pick it in.
Well, that, Rusty. Well, you learn something every time you get on here. Now, I've seen gas 19.9 many times, and or Kukovich's, and I think I remember it. One gas were going to 14.9 or 15.9 one time. I think that's as cheap as I ever seen it. Well, there's a severe thunderstorm warning out in Cherokee County until 3:45, and they got nickel-sized hail and winds up to 60 and this and that. And you'll have to tell me where Cherokee County's at. I guess it's up by Gaffney. Anyways, go ahead and sign, Rusty, if you're home.
The whole time I was talking to you, I've just been sitting here in front of the computer, and that's why I said I got a phone call. I was sitting here, that time I turned the radio up and heard you guys talking, was getting ready to talk. Then the phone rang, so I had to turn it down and take the phone call. But, yeah, Jerry, you guys are not, you guys are be surprised at how old I am, and I'm not no young spring chicken either. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yes, that you were. I know you're probably as old as I am, if not, you're close. You may be a little older, maybe a little bit younger. When you start passing 70, sometimes the numbers kind of fade to me, so I don't pay quite as much attention. I just think we're vintage after a certain point. But, yeah, Rusty, my uncle, he passed away years ago, but he was a big wheel in Exxon, and we had a lake lot at that time, and back before the first gas crisis came along during the Carter deal, we had a 500-gallon tank put down a lake lot. That's what we used to fill up our boats with and that sort of thing. Back when you couldn't buy gas on Sundays during that fuel shortage, so. We used to go down, we'd get a tanker truck down there and bring that and put 500 in at a time. Other people paid 50, 60 cents a gallon. I was paying 18, 19, 20 cents a gallon at the tanker. Of course, we're getting it at distributor prices. But I used to, it had a hand pump on it. It did four pumps, I think, for maybe a half gallon. But I used to fill my gas tank up there when I headed back to college.
Quit, Tom. Yeah, Bernice's mom had a big gas tank up on an angle iron frame for the farm out there many years ago when we first got married. And, it's amazing the evolutions of that that we've been through. But I really think it's highly stupid big a place as we are, and many people as we have, for them to have one pipeline going up the coast, which also feeds a lot of airports, I'm sure, to supply fuel, and then not have the kind of security from these internet pirates that they need. The government should, that's one place that the government needs to be, and apparently they weren't. Guys, that's the security of the nation. But who am I to say? If they did anything smart anymore, it'd be out of character. Go ahead, Rusty. Now, I'm going to have to go pretty quick.
I'll tell you what. I remember when we came back to South Carolina from California after my dad died, and my mother was from South Carolina, so we came back here, and my great-uncle had a sawmill, and he ran trucks out to pick up the logs and bring them back, and they'd saw them up and everything, and then sell the lumber out to the, back, this is back in the day when they sold lumber mills, sold directly to the hardware stores and all that were selling lumber. And he would sell any, but he had him a tank in the ground, and he had one of these big, it was a big pump, and he used it to keep his trucks filled up. And his pump was, you know, it looked like a lighthouse with a glass bulb at the top, and it was a handle that you would crank back and forth, side to side, and watch the gas go up into that glass bulb at the top. And then once you got that to the point of where you want it, then you take the handle off and squeeze it and stick it in the tank, and then it would all run down from the top of the thing where it was filled up the bulb down into the tank on the truck. And I was always fascinated with that when I was a kid, so I can remember the days of that. And Jerry, just to let you know, I turned 74 here a couple of months ago, so I'm not, as they say, a spring chicken. Go ahead, Jerry, W2T.
That was called a visible pump, KP4CBA.
Nobody asked you.
How you doing today? You go ahead and take it. I got to jump out of here in a second. But first, I remember those. Yeah, I remember those things were antiques when I was just a kid, though, I think.
I've seen Mike and Frank buy them on American Pickers. They're called visible pumps, and don't ask me how they came up with that name, but other than you could see the gas that you're getting, and, you know, it has marks on it, you know, where the gallons and half gallons would be, so you knew exactly how much gas you were getting, and that sort of thing. So it was really interesting type of pump. I've never seen one in operation. When I pumped gas, we had to clear the pump and had a lever that you pushed to clear it, and then you could take the handle off, and then you flip the lever over where the handle went, and it covered up the place where the handle went, and you could pump the gas, then the pump would start.
Go ahead, Tom. This is NZRLTR. Good afternoon, Dave. Yeah, I've seen a lot of those, and I've seen them at old gas stations that they've, you know, redone back in Kansas, that are all just kind of a touristy thing, like over one. They're really, you know, it's a Sinclair station, I think, which I don't believe they exist anymore. But, yeah, that was a pretty amazing time. I was trying to think, and I lost my train of thought about some of the gas pumps, but nonetheless, that was the good old days when you could buy gas for that. I had a friend who worked in a gas station, Dave, and he had dropped out of high school and was still a friend, and Tope would go out, and once everybody, they'd come in and fill their car up, he'd push his 250cc YDS3 Yamaha out there, and he would clip the hose and take the remaining gasoline out of the hose to keep his motorcycle filled up, and that's how he existed at times. Poor people has poor ways. But now you can't do that, man. When it shuts off, it shuts off, and they get you for every increment of gasoline. Gentlemen, I got to go. Bernice has got dinner about ready, and have a safe day out there, and I'll turn it over to Mr. Rusty. And Rusty, I thought you was mobile there a while ago, but you're sounding good.
73 WQT and 0GR is clear.
All right, Tom, we'll catch you later. I've got to go too here in a second anyway. I've got to get back to a couple of things I'm working on and get back to them and finish them up before I go to rehearsal tonight. And Jerry, you have a good one. And Dave, I just had to throw that out to you when you jumped in there a while ago. I knew what they were called. In fact, I know, just as a thought, Dave, do you know what those things cost nowadays? If you buy one, they're antiques, and if you want to buy one for your, as a antique from a place that has them? Looking to myself. W2T clear.
You're not talking to yourself, Rusty. I'm just listening. He must be busy doing something. But I got to jump out of here, too. Come way downstairs for a few minutes. Make sure we ain't got to run somewhere. Anyway, talk to you guys later today. M4DJC.
I've gone ahead and stepped out, but all right, we'll catch you later. I'll be leaving here later and headed over to rehearsal, so I'll probably not be back on here until I get ready to head that way, which will be somewhere around 6:15. So, catch you later. W2T clear for now.
4CPA mobile.